tells them in the morning before we come here, Lord, we just want what you want. Prepare our hearts and our minds to be able to receive what's going to be said. Because sometimes there's probably some things that will be said this morning that won't suit well with us. You know, and instead of us trying to change the word to fit our lives, it doesn't work like that. We got to change our lives to fit the word. We can't just do, you make things up. Can't do what we want to do. Can't take the scripture and say, oh, well, that's what, do we really seek it? Do we really ask him for more wisdom and more knowledge and understanding? Is that what it's actually saying, Lord? And if it is, listen, if it bothers us, then that's the key. If it bothers you, then you know. Then there's something I got to do. Some things I have to change. We can't just live the way we want to live. You know, me and Pastor was talking this morning, and he was just sharing his heart with me, and two scriptures came to mind that I shared with him. And it was in that John 6, we can start with John 6, 63. And it said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From what he said, they didn't agree with it. They didn't want what he said to fit their. What he said didn't fit their lives. It didn't suit well with them, and they wasn't ready to make them changes. So it said they walked away no more with him. Then said Yeshua unto the 12, will ye also walk, go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Where are we going to go? That he's saying. The rest, like I said, they didn't agree. Something was stirred up in them that it was, no, we're not. This Yeshua was talking crazy. But he said, his disciples said, you have the words of eternal life. And like I said, we got to adjust our schedules, our lives, and be willing, be okay with it. We have to be okay with it. When it's not okay, that's when the struggle comes. That's when, you know, you start thinking different things. You start thinking other things, weird things, things that you shouldn't think. You start acting on things that you shouldn't act. And the other scripture I shared with him was in Exodus. Exodus 32, 33. And starting with verse 11. Exodus 33:11. Yahweh spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto Yahweh, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me not thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with thee, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh said unto him, Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight and know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh. I read the wrong thing to y'all. This is in chapter 32. Yeah, I'm sorry. Here we go. 32, verse 31. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them mighty ones of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me. So look at Moses. He's asking the Father, not the people, Lord, not the ones who you gave me to watch over, to shepherd over. Blot me out of the book, I pray with thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Not you, Moses. The people have a responsibility. Just like us today, we have a responsibility. And you're going to see, as this service goes along, the two scriptures I read, it'll just keep them in memory. And you're going to know where all this is coming from. But we have a responsibility to do things. Can't just depend on our pastors or our leaders. You have enough. The weight of just them, their living, their families that they got to take care of. You know, as we have to be okay with whatever changes is going to be coming our way. It might not suit well, might not fit in the very beginning. But again, we have to make adjustments to our life to fit the word, the scripture. Not try to let the scripture fit our lives. It don't work like that. The Father never intended for his word to do that, and he it never will. And until we realize that, that's when everything will just begin to flow. We'll begin to walk in health, and everything that we touch will be just, it'll prosper. So just think about those two scriptures, and whatever happens in the service, we're just going to be okay with it. We want what he wants. Whatever changes we've got to make in my life, that's what I want. I want what you want. Do we really want that song that we sing? Do we really want what he wants? Amen? He's so good to us. Thank you.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning? We're glad you're good. What a great God we serve. Well, I look around this morning and I'm pretty sad about what I see. So I'm just going to give you this message and everybody can decide. Okay? Becoming the light of the world. Let's stand if you want to be the light. If you don't want to be light, don't stand, because I will call you out today. I'd rather you sit than tell me you're going to be the light and you don't want to be, or you don't act like you want to be. Because this is what, if you stand, and this is what God wants for you. He wants it for me. He wants it for you. You are the light of the world. I think about that all the time. You, every person, individual, not us, not me and him, or her and me, you. I want you to think about you. You're the light of the world. What does that mean? What is my responsibility when I see that? These are the words of Yeshua. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. That's what you are. Everything you say, everything you do, your actions, everything about you has to speak light. I'm convinced that we don't even know what this means. And we should. We should know what it means. It should be a part of our life. We're going to look at some things today, and as I get to certain points, we'll address those points. Becoming the light of the world. I'm going to have you keep standing until I read the text, and then we'll go. The golden lampstand. This is what it looks like. I just put something that's more of like a cartoon type because we don't know what the original one was like because we don't know where it's at. But it would be this menorah. It's called the menorah. It's got a center, sort of like this one here we have. It's got the center and then the branches off of it. And this is what the Word of God says for him to do. And you shall make a lampstand of clean gold. A lampstand of clean gold. The lampstand is made of beaten work. Its base and its shaft and its cups, its ornamental knobs and blossoms are from it. And six branches shall come out of its side. Six branches out of its side it comes out. Three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Does that look like what I'm describing? Right? We've got one side, the left side, the right side. Three branches come out of it. So I just wanted to make sure that we're clear so far on this. In this particular passage, did y'all get Exodus 27, 31? And then it says, and on the lampstand itself, four cups made like almond flour with ornamental knobs and blossoms. And the knobs under the first two branches of the same, and the knobs under the second two branches of the same, and the knobs under the third branch, the same according to the six branches out coming out of the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches are the same, all of it one beaten work of clean gold. This is not pieces put together. This is clean gold, beaten work, meaning they're carving this from this amazing piece of architecture. Now, this is Yah saying, this is what I need you to do. In 37, and you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall mount its lamp so that they give light in front of it. There's a reason for light to be in front. If you're in a dark room, you want the light to be out front. Well, when they made the tabernacle, everything had curtains, and it was completely shut out from sunlight. So what would happen on the inside? It would be what? Dark. And God says he didn't want no darkness at all. So he said, you build this lamp, you put it in the most holy place, and you light it, and it has to burn forever. Then he talks about the oil for the lamp. Still on the text, and we can sit in a little bit. The oil for the lamp. And you are to command the children of Israel to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. How many see that? Now, think about these terminologies we're hearing. We hear this in the feast day terminology, right? The feast are for how long? They're forever. You to do it continually. These are the same terms we're hearing. So we want to pay attention to that, because each person standing here, you are the light of the world. And you're supposed to be the light how long? Continually. Not just at church. Continually. Wherever you go, you're the light. In the tent of the appointment. How many see that? Most Bibles say meeting. Meeting. We lose sight of that. Because we got meetings at work, we got meetings here and there, we got staff meetings, whatever, meetings, and we lose sight of that. But when you have the appointment, It's an agreed time. It's an agreed time that you meet. In the tent of appointment outside the veil, which is before the witness, Haran and his sons are to tend it from evening until morning before Yah. Aaron, they're to tend it, he says. A law forever to their generations from the children of Israel. Now, you say, well, we're not children of Israel. Well, according to the scripture, if you are born again, you are grafted in to the olive. You're an olive branch. The olive tree's there, and you're grafted in. And we're going to get pure oil from what? Olives. And you're grafted in, therefore you are Israel. How many understand that? You got to comprehend that because it's important for our life. And this is simply the menorah. This right here is the menorah. And let me put it up again for you so you see it. And there it is again, just so you kind of get your mind wrapped around that. That's important because this has to operate in our life. And he wants it for our life. You may be seated. Now, that's the text. That's what we're going to pull the text from. That's the scripture we just read. So you write that down. You got to make a note of it. Now, every person, far as I can tell, unless I miss somebody, we're missing a lot of folks today, but unless I miss somebody, you were standing. Means you want to be the light of the world. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Once I tell you how to do that, then it's your decision to live it out. You got to live it out. You come to church. Listen, let me just tell you. Church is not about you. It's not about me. It's an information source. That's what church is. It's an information source. You come and you get information. You take that information and you live it out in your life. But we've made the church to be something that's for people. We got to tend to everybody's situation and issue. Listen, if you're a member of a church, you're going to have issues. And sure, there's going to be some responsibility of the church. But it's not for your entire life. You got responsibility for your own life. You're where you are because of you. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you can be. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the command is a lamp. And the Torah a light, and reproof of discipline a way of life." So if you're going to live by the Torah, get ready for discipline. Because it disciplines you not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days. It disciplines you all 7 days of the week. It disciplines you. Now, if you don't read it, it don't do anything for you. That's how come you can do what you want. Live like you want. Say what you want because you don't listen to what God said. Let me read that verse again because Proverbs is a very important book. One, the Lord had me listen to Proverbs for a long time. If you listen to it, you can just read it and it takes you 1 month. Just read one chapter every for a day. In 1 month, you got it. I mean, don't be shocked about that. Take a chapter, read one a day. You'll finish it. In a month, it'll change your life forever. For about 6 months, I went on that and just read it every day. Because I wanted to understand there's so many principles in there to change your life forever. It's a book of wisdom. For the command of is a lamp. The command is a what? A lamp. And the Torah is a light and reproof of discipline, a way of life. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word. It's your word that does these things. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where's the word of God? Is it a book that sits on somewhere and rarely gets touched? David said, "Thy word is in my heart." And people think that's because, you know, the pastor, he's got more time on his hand, so he can study the word and he knows it. You know, he can comment on everything. It's not that. He says, I'll make a new covenant with you. When I was born again, the word got written in my heart. He took out the stony heart and he put a heart of flesh. He's done something in my life that changed me. And you get a different attitude about God. That's what happens. So we listen, you think about a struggle. The struggle is really real when you're playing and faking. But if you just say, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And it won't be without mistake. But if mistake is constant, I would check to find out where I really am. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He's talking underneath an old covenant. So, yes, David had a lot of encounters with God. A lot of time he spent in the field. A lot of things. You read the Psalms. You read these encounters he had. It was absolutely incredible what happened in his life. But when Christ comes, Yeshua comes, he changes all that. He gives everybody, you know, maybe you don't have a pasture and some sheep and the stars to look at every night. You just got a regular family. And you have bills and all the stuff that go with it. But what you do have is you have Yeshua HaMashiach that changed your life forever. Because what he does, he swipes it clean and gives you, the playing field becomes even. You're just like David. David, you're just like him. And you get the same opportunity. And we should honor that. Psalms 119, 130. The opening up of your words gives light. You know what we ought to try? The part that I really want to emphasize is opening it up. How ironic is that? Just open it up, it'll give you light. Folks talk about, well, you know, I can't read, so I'm just going to kind of wing it. You're not going to make it. Just going to be honest with you. You won't make it. You mean tell me, Pastor, that you're saying God won't come and give grace to people who's struggling because they can't read? No, he won't. Because you could do everything else. Folks can't read, watch the LSU game last night intently. Yeah. And so now that's over with, and so am I glad. What about Torah? Do you look at it intently? Do you listen to it by audio and tape? Because you got it all. In this day we live, give an hour. I think you can listen to it in an hour. Sometimes it's not even 30 minutes. When do I do it? Every day. You stood just now to be a light. Man, that's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of time in a day, right? But we want a miracle from God. We want everything fixed, and we want the pastor to do it. Well, that's not how it works. I'm here to give you information. You get the information, and then you got to take it, and you got to do it in your own life. And wherever you lack and wherever you're broke down, wherever you can't figure it out, that's not my fault. That's your fault. The opening up of your word does what? It gives light. What are you doing when you do that? There's two things happen here. You got to constantly, that's putting all. That's putting all. What happened to the five foolish? What happened to the five foolish who didn't put all? Well, their menorah should have been burning when he came to marry. The marriage was called. The trumpet blew, and they weren't ready. So they were running to try to go to church somewhere. Let's go to church, baby. We can get the pastor to pray for us, and maybe God will just let us in. It's not going to happen. You got to keep your oil, the lamp burning. You got to keep the oil in it. The opening up of your words give light, give an understanding to the simple. I'm so glad he gives understanding to the simple because that's me. I'm the simple. I'm glad that verse is in there because I won't be left out. So we can't give no excuse about we ain't God at all. That we not as smart as this guy, that guy. The simple, he says. Simple. If you're just simple, he can get, you're not forgotten. Romans 2, 17. See, you are called by Yehuda. You're called Yehuda, Jews. He's saying, you're called a Jew. And rest in the Torah and make your boast in Elohim. And you know the desire of Elohim and approve what is superior, being instructed out of what? The Torah. But what? And are trusting that in yourselves are a, you are a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish ones, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and of the truth in the Torah. Do you see this? And without it, can you help anyone? Is anybody in here, you're trusting in yourself that you are a guide to the blind? Can blind lead blind? But if you want to be a guide to the blind, you got to open up the word. You can't give instructions to somebody if you don't know it. A light to those who are in darkness. Do you know anybody in darkness? Some of your kids is in darkness. And you ain't got the guts to tell them anything. Let pastor tell them. They're not my kids. Let me tell you, I don't have both of my kids here, but they're ones here. And let me tell you, when they're in darkness, I told them. Like it or not, you don't have to like it. But I'm telling you, you're not making it. You're, just because you're mine, you don't make it. They both can tell you that. If they were honest, they would say, I told them every single time, don't be in darkness, lest some of you are sitting here and you'll go have dinner with your children and you won't mention a peep to them. You're trying to wait for that perfect moment when they come here and somehow I'm supposed to pray them in. It's not going to happen. You are the light. You are. And if you won't stand up and fight for them, then why do you expect somebody else to? Well, the church don't do nothing for me. The church, that's because you're entitled. You're an entitled person. You're entitled to everything. Your dinner should be cheaper. Your taxi ride should be cheaper. Your flight should be cheaper. You just want everything cheaper because you're entitled. You know what we're entitled to? To die. And God knew that. You know what he said? I don't want them to die. I'm going to give them away. Matter of fact, I'm going to make them lights to the world so nobody else has to die. So what I'll do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll send my only son. I'm going to send my son and let him be the light of the world to show them how to do it. And all they got to do is follow him. John 14:6. Yeshua said to him, I am the way. I am the way? Think about those terms, he said. I am the way. You know why he's the way? Because he kept Torah. He kept all in the menorah, and he wouldn't let it go out. How many know that he was consistent? When Yeshua said, I'm going to do what God called me to do, he meant it. He lived it every single day. Every day he lived it. I know some of you are sitting here and say, man, that just seems to be impossible. You're gonna hit a bump every now and then, but you don't wait. You don't hit the bump, run off the road and fall in the ditch and get out, walk the rest of the way. What do? You get it out the ditch. And some people stay that way. They stay in the ditch because, man, you just don't know the bump I hit. My bump was bigger than your bump. You might hit one. But you do something about that. You got to take the blame for your mistakes and be okay with it. It's okay. Look around in here. Everybody that was standing wanting to be the light, they all made mistakes too. Everybody makes mistakes. The problem is we think because everybody else made one and I made one, we're equal. Guess what? The whole bunch of you never make it. You understand that? How do you make it? You fix the mistake and say, Lord, I never want to do it again. That's how you fix it. Go to Torah. Go to the Word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Yeshua said. So how we expect to get to the Father unless we go through him? So people say, well, I believe in Jesus. That's mental assent. Because if you really believed in Jesus, you'd do what he said. You do what he does. If he loves it, we love it. If he said it, we say it. If he hates it, we hate it. Well, you get my point? You can add whatever one you want to that. That's exactly how you means to follow him. And so if he's the way, is there another way? There's no other way. You can mental assent. What does mental assent mean? Mental assent means to just believe in something, but never do what you believe in. I believe in God. Do you serve him? Well, I'm working on that. No, you can't work on it. Do you serve him? Or you, did you fall in, commit your life to him? That's what you have to do. When you do that, your life will change forever. Psalms 119, verse 1, blessed are the perfect in the way. Who gets blessed? The ones in the way. Who's the way? Yeshua. Yeshua is the light of the world. He is the living Torah. Every time you read Torah, you're saying, I'm communicating or koinonian with Yeshua. Every time. Let me see your hand. Everybody be honest, too. I want honesty this morning. If you still struggle with praying when you're in the public or just praying, let me see your hand. It's a struggle. So, like, if I was on a, maybe I was out in the open somewhere, and I said, oh, hey, bunch of guys standing around. Hey, everybody, I need y'all to pray for me right now. And if you get to where you don't feel like I can do that, you got to work on that, right? Because you think Yeshua would struggle with that? He never would struggle with it. Why? Because he was in constant communication. One more communication to God don't affect him. Prayer is affected because your communication with God is lacking. Because all prayer is talking to God. That's it. So you work on it. How much time do I have to work on it? You get up in the morning, you work on it. Throughout the day, you're working on it. When you go to bed at night, you're working on it. You just keep working on it. You got plenty of time to pray. I don't care. You're never too busy to pray. Never. People say, man, if I could only have some time off, I'd pray more. You wouldn't pray more because you don't have a habit to pray. The way you create a habit to pray is you just start praying. What is prayer? Talking to God. That's what it is. And you do that, it'll change your life forever. Psalms 119, 142. Your righteousness is righteousness forever. How incredible is that? Your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your Torah is truth. You think we need that? This is just a little few verses that we get. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 45 through 47. And when Moshe, that's Moses, ended speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, set your heart on all the words which I warn you today, so that you command your children to guard and do all the words of this Torah. What do you command your children? To guard and do. To guard and do the words of this Torah. Now, I'll tell you that's important. It's got to be important for you. Yet I see it constantly. We have folks in here that's committing adultery. Maybe not here today, but in the church. Committing adultery. And we're afraid to say something. Well, maybe pastor needs to talk with him. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Pastor don't need to talk to nobody. My job is being done right now. I'm giving you information. And if you don't think it's good information, check it out for yourself. Good information. What we got to do is grow up. And we need to sit our children down and say, do you think you're going to make it committing adultery? You can't do that. And then if they don't change, don't eat with them. That's the Torah, by the way. We want to keep the feast days, you see. We don't mind. We get a little change and we don't want to do Christmas. So we're going to start following because we're supposed to be turning. We're supposed to be turning away, not keeping the pagan systems that are set up. We're supposed to be turning and keeping the days that God instructed us in the Word. He instructed us to keep those things. That's instructions that He gives. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be changing, actively participating in that change. And sometimes we get hung up on things, so we don't change. We want to keep, so we make a change. We're going to keep the Passover. That one's not so hard. That one's pretty easy. You just drop off a few bunny rabbits and eggs, and you kind of got it. And then the Christmas, that's a little tougher because we got sucked into a whole monetary system there. You spend more money than you can afford, and you run up your credit cards, and then you gave gifts to people that don't even say hi to you. Because you feel like that's the obligation. It's nowhere in the Scripture. And then, so we made those changes, and then we found some new things like unleavened bread and first fruits and Shavuot. You know, we don't mind keeping about the in the day of Pentecost. So we was okay. Then you got Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur. You got all these wonders in Sukkot. It's wonderful. But then they got the Sabbath, the first one. It's like the first one. He said, because these are all appointments. You know, that's what we're preaching. Yeah. We're giving you that information out of the Bible. This is the first appointment that He makes with humanity. He tells us what it means. He says, 6 days is for man. That's how the Bible structure is going to be. 6 days is for man. So man is going to have 6,000 years to kind of get it together. And then on the seventh day, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day to Yahweh. To us, 1,000 years is a big deal, right? Just try 100 years. That's what I'm shooting for, 100. If I get 102, then we're all happy, right? Shoot for the stars. Go as big as you can go. So I'm shooting for 100. What about 1,000 years is a day to Yahweh? So, you know, he's saying day one, that first hour, day two, day six is where the church is prophetically. And we got this 1 year about to come. It's his day. Are we going to be practiced very well to meet with him on the Shabbat? It's called Shabbat or the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, not day one. Today's day one. So we've just been doing it because that's what we do. We do what people do. We do what people did before us do. And we keep doing it. How many here want to be the light? Remember I asked you, you stood? How many really want to be the light? And you say, you know what? This is it. I'm going to make some changes in my life no matter how hard it gets. And I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to keep God's day on the last day the way He told me to. Well, that would be a change, huh? That would be something, man. And we can talk about it around the table and everybody can give their opinion about it. But listen, I'm not in the opinion business. I'm in the life-saving business. I'm saying what I'm saying because I care about your life. And I care about my life. And if I say it wrong, I don't need to live. I care about your life. And so I'm going to give you good information. That way when you take that information, you got it. You decide what you want to do. You don't have to do it, but it's your life. I'm giving it to you because I care about your life. I want you to know the truth about what the Word of God says. Don't matter what people think. Aren't we tired of what people think? Aren't we tired of what people's going to say? Who cares about what people think? You've lived your life worrying about what people think. What about what God thinks? He loves us. He cares about us. And so he wants the best for us. So we look at these words and we see it time and time again, how he unfolds his life. He shows us. We get back to talking about these set days. He said, but when you talk to your children, they're to guard these things. It's supposed to mean something to them. It's supposed to challenge their life. And this is very important for us. When Moshe ended speaking all the words to Israel, he said to them, set your heart on all these words which I warn you today, so that you command, you, not the pastor, not Moshe, you command your children and to guard and do all the words of this Torah. For it is not a worthless word for you, because it is your life. And by this word you prolong your days on the soil. Which soil is he talking about? On the earth. You prolong your days on the earth, which you passed over this Jordan. Jordan, he's talking about, to possess it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And Yah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet. It's talking about Yeshua here. Like from your midst, from your brothers. Then I highlighted this because I think this is important. This is what we've been looking at. We've been studying his words. Listen to him. Listen to him. So people say, if I go around and I take a poll, who's Christian? Okay. So let's say everybody in here is Christian. Just for the example. Everybody in here is a Christian. Do you listen to him? Because that's a qualification. Do you do what he says? Because that's a qualification. You can call yourself whatever you want. I'm a millionaire and I'm 7 foot tall. I can say it all day long. It won't make me a millionaire, nor would it add one cubit to my stature. Listen to him. According to all you ask of Yah, your Elohim, in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yah, my Elohim, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. You don't think it was amazing? It was absolutely incredible. Verse 17. And Yah said to me, what they have spoken is good. I shall raise up for them a prophet like out of the midst of their brothers, and I shall put my words in his mouth. Now, why do we listen to Yeshua? Because what he says is the words of Yah. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be, the man who does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I require it of him. So you're going to stand before Yah, every person here today. I can't speak for the ones not here. And I may never speak this message ever again. That's how critical it is to be where God wants you to be. But I'm going to say this. Every person here, he's going to require it of you. He's going to say, oh, yeah, you can. He's going to let you go ahead and give your list of excuses on why you didn't do whatever he asked you and live to the Torah. And he's going to say, do you remember that day? You remember that day and you sat there? And you heard this? You heard it. I'm going to require that of you because I gave you a chance to change your life forever, and you just rejected it. I'm asking you, I beg of you, I plead with you today, don't take your life and throw the dice and hope you land where you land. That's no way to be guaranteed eternity. Do it because you see it for yourself. You see it and you know it's the truth. Luke chapter 3. We're talking about Yeshua because he said, I'll raise up a prophet. Let's look at his life. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It came to be when all the people were immersed, being baptized, Yeshua also being immersed, baptized, and praying, the heavens was opened. The people were being baptized for what? What was the reason the people were being baptized? Because they sinned. And there was an outward show of the cleansing power. Yeshua was baptized and he had no sin. He was doing it because it's the right thing to do. He was saying, what they're doing needs to be done. I'll show you. And we're to follow him. And the set apart spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, you, speaking to Yeshua, you are my son, the beloved. In you I did delight. Is he going to tell you that? When you stand before Almighty Yah, you're standing there, and he's going to look, and he says, in you are my son. In you are my son. Is he going to say that? And Luke 4, verse 1, we're continuing. There's no chapters in the regular text, but they put them there for us to look and find different things. So we continue it. And Yeshua being filled, see that highlighted? Filled with the set apart spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the spirit unto the wilderness. Now here's the thing, I was reading this morning, and the Lord brought this to my attention. Folks, listen to me. It don't matter what ministry you're in. It don't matter if you're a teacher, a preacher. It doesn't. None of that matters. What matters is you're doing it for Yah. You're doing it for him. And if you say out of your mouth, comes out of your mouth, the Lord is leading me, and he's not, you're on the hook for that. You don't get out of it. You're on the hook for that because people decide by what you say. And if they just made a decision by what you said, then you're on the hook for every one of them. You know why you got to be careful in what you say? Because until you're filled, you can't be led. That's why I highlighted those two words so it is a reminder to me to make this point. Make this point. You can't be led by God until you're filled by a set apart spirit. And filled is not yesterday's filling. It's not last week. It's not a year ago. It's not when you were 10, 12, 13, 40. It doesn't matter when it happened, but that's not the one you're living on right now. You got to be filled today. We're accountable for today. What we didn't do yesterday is over. You can't change it. You can't stop time. You can't jump back in the past. Forget it. It's over with. But what you do today counts. If you're going to be led by God, you got to be filled by God. If you're not filled, then the life goes out. I mean, understand that. It goes out and you got nothing. You got to keep fresh oil. And being tried 40 days. This is the Yeshua. Think about it. He was led in the wilderness. Some folks in the wilderness saying, oh, I guess God got me here. God left you there. That's what he did. He left you there. He didn't lead you there because you weren't filled to begin with. You got you there. He tried to come get you, and you went, nah, nah, nah. Don't touch me like that. He's trying to get his hand on you, and you're not used to the touch of God, and you just keep resisting him, he'll leave you. He said, I'll turn them over to their own delusion, their own falsehoods. They'll become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. That's what you want. That God has no choice. Again, the mentality of people is the church is set up to fix people. We're the fixer-upper. We go and break it down, tear it up, run it out of oil, ain't got no, and then bring it to the church. They take it apart, fix it, and get it going again. And then we go out and we tear it up again and we bring it back. That's not the church. Church is not responsible for that. Remember what the church is responsible for. Good information. And you got to become the mechanic to your life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some people take that wrong. They think, well, I'm working mine out, you working yours out, and I got my set of rules and you got yours. No, we got one rule, the Torah. Don't twist the scripture. That's what the devil did. Don't be devilish when it comes to the scripture twisting. You don't make it say what you want it to say so it makes you good and you ain't got to change anything. Let's take the word for what it says. being tried 40 days by the devil. In those days, he did not eat at all. 40 days, not eating. Can you imagine the shape he was in? He was hungry. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Who would think you'd be hungry for not eating for 40 days? We don't eat for between meals, a snack, grab some peanuts or something. We say these things. We say comments like this. Man, I'm hungry. Hurry up. I'm ready. That's what we do. Think about that. Because we don't even know the term, what that means. He was hungry. He was completely drained. And that's how I feel today. I know I'm preaching this message. I'm preaching under the grace of God. But I feel completely drained. And it's only God's got me up here. And you know what he said? And the devil said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, he questioned him. If you the God that's supposed to be helping everybody, command these stones to become bread. That's something you got to really think about. Command these stones to become bread. See, we can use our relationship to God to get what we want, but it doesn't mean it's what God wants. And I told the Lord last night, I can do stuff because your favor's on my life. The hand of God is on my life. I have a tremendous favor with God. And he said, I'll give you favor with me and man. But I'm not going to use the favor of God because the word don't command me or allow me to do that. Do you understand that? If you want God's favor on your life, you got to be careful that you don't lose the favor of God. And so the devil said to him, if you're the son of Elohim, command these stones to become bread. Well, he knew instantly right there, I can't do that. I can't do that. This is it. The time has come. Well, I'm going to tell you this for this church, the time has come. We talk about doing Bible things and Bible ways, and we're going to follow the Torah and we're going to do it all. And we got to be tippy-toeing around folks because maybe they're not ready. They might leave. Listen, I'm not your daddy. Folk want to leave. You go. Oh. Do you understand that? The church, let me tell you what happens when you got church that needs people because they can't afford the lights. You can't say so too much. You sure can't preach what I'm preaching today. You understand? But this is a place because we're commanded to meet corporately. That's the command of God. So we have a place to do that. And then we're commanded to meet from house to house and in fellowship and breaking bread in Koinonia. And we're trying to do that best we can. But when it comes to the word of God, I'm going to say it because I love you and I care about you. But we're here. We're there. It's time. So it's going to affect your life. It affects your life because you've done something for so long that certain way. And we all have done that. Just because we've done it doesn't mean the hand of God wasn't on our life. He was saying, hey, hey,
hey,
hey, hey, you got to change that. And here we are. Change is here. So he knows he can't change that. The reason is in the Torah. Watch this. Very important. But Yeshua answered him saying, it has been written. It has been written. If it has been written, means it's not just what I'm saying. It has been written long time ago. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Elohim. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. You know why Yeshua was able to come up with that real fast? Because he was a person who understood Torah. He was a person that lived by the Torah. He knew that it said he couldn't do that, so he didn't do it. The devil taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the reins of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I shall give you. in their esteem, their glory. The word esteem is glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now, this is that one card the devil's going to play. This is what he stole from Adam. You shall have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and all that. That's why man don't have dominion over that anymore. You understand? And you notice that Yeshua, he didn't take it back. Oh, you know, I'm saved now, so now I got dominion. You have absolutely nothing. You get to be saved. You get to be a Torah keeper. And you got to do it very well. You're not married yet. We talking about we got this. We got to watch what we got. Because Yeshua didn't take it. Did he do it? And the devil said to him, all this authority will I give you. And their esteem, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. If then you worship before me, all shall be yours. What does he seek? He seeks our worship. That's why we have an issue in the church with mixture. He seeks your worship. He wants you to come to worship. You know, you come here and you give Elohim worship, and then we give worship to the world. We sometimes 30 years in serving God and still can't get rid of that song out of our head every time it comes on. It's just what it is. You say, well, that's just playing. That don't mean anything. It does mean something to you. Watch. Hit the play button. Boom, 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 boom. You right? It just hits you instantly. How many want to wash all that out of you? Because he didn't put it in you, but somehow it's still there. And we done prayed every prayer we know how to pray. Lord, take it out of me. God, he don't want it. You can't give to God what he don't want. He wants you to learn. The more you read Torah, it expels it out. I wish I had brought it. The Lord gave me this amazing vision. And I said, Lord, I'll just tell him. But it would have been so better to show you. So you take, if you took a vessel and you put oil in the vessel, just put oil in the vessel, and you pour a solution in the oil that's heavier than the oil, what happens to the oil if you keep filling it? It expels it. You don't have to turn it upside down and shake it. You understand? And that's what I've been praying, Lord. Let your Torah do that for me. The more I get it, the more I read it, it's expelling all the stuff that shouldn't be there. He's constantly pouring in the fresh water, the washing of the water by the word. He's pouring it in. And what happens to the old burnt oil? What happens to it? Just starts coming out. Eventually, you look in there, there's no burnt oil at all. It's all gone. How'd that happen? Did the pastor come and tell you needed to get rid of it? No, he just gives you good information and shows you that you have to work it out. You work it out. And you got somebody that's praying for you and thanking God that you're still alive to do that. That you're still living. That you can do it. You know, it's just not, you think about Yeshua and the price he paid and the stuff he went through. You know what he says? And Yeshua answered him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. There he goes again. It has been written. You shall worship Yah, your Elohim, and him only you shall serve. Deuteronomy 6:13. And he brought him into Jerusalem, to set him on the edge of the set-apart place, and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, throw yourself down from here. Now here's the real tricky one. For it has been written, Satan's still the speaker. Here he goes. He's the speaker, and this is what happens when religion twists the scripture. It's been written, he commands his messengers concerning you to guard over you. Psalms 191, verse 11. So it's not, listen to him. And in their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalms 91:12. Is he quoting the scripture or not? And Yeshua answered, saying to him, "It has been said, you shall not try Yah, Yah Elohim," Deuteronomy 6:16. Now, how'd that override? They both scripture. Because you can't take the scripture that you like the best and twist it to fit the way you want to live. Because the Torah overrode it. In the Torah, it's Deuteronomy. In the Psalms, it's just the writings. Is it none the word of God? Yes, it's absolutely the word of God. But he's speaking in a prophetic term. When that time comes and you falter, I'll bear the angels will bear you up. You should dash your foot against the stone. What Satan was trying to say is that I'll go ahead and give it to you now before Yah gives it to you, and I'll be the giver of saving you. He didn't have to do that. So you could take scripture and twist them a little bit, and it's still the Bible. It's what religion does. That's what churches all around the world are doing. They take the scripture and just twist it a little bit until it gets to say what they want. They get comfortable with it. We don't have to make any change. No, this is the way we do it at our church, and here we go. Well, I'm going to just tell you here. I'm going to give you the right information, and you do whatever you want with it. We got to make no demands on anybody. None. You can come to church whenever you want. We'll have the building open for you. But from here on out, we're going to set a time and a schedule that is what the word says, and you can live by it. If not, you can do die by it. Because that's exactly what happened. And when the devil had ended every trial, he went away from him until a convenient time. And Yeshua began his ministry, and Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit. Same set of parts of Spirit we're talking about when we started this, to Galilee. The news of him went throughout all the surrounding countries, and he was teaching in their congregations, being praised by all. Teaching in their congregations, meaning he was teaching on the Sabbath day. Yeshua was rejected at Nazareth, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath. Why did he go to the congregation on the Sabbath? Anybody can tell me that. Why did Yeshua go to the congregation and meet with them on the Sabbath? Because he was a Torah keeper. Yeshua kept Torah. That's why he went. Did he go on the first day of the week? Sunday worship? Sunday worship didn't come for another several hundred years after Yeshua died. And then it was instituted by the Roman church that Sunday was the day to worship. And we've been following that ever since. People always say, well, it don't really matter. It's a principle. You know, if you go to church one day, it's the principle. It's not a principle. So is Passover a principle? How's about Shavuot? Is that a principle? What about Yom Teruah? Is that a principle? Just a principle. It's not a principle. It's an appointment. It's an appointment. It's an engaged time. You're going to meet at a certain spot at a certain time. And it's only for our benefit. Can you imagine living for another 30 years of your life? And you meet every year without nothing that stops you from meeting on Yom Teruah. That day you're there every time. And your eyes should be looking up. Your ears should be attentive for the blast of the shofar. You think maybe your chances of being ready when he comes is a whole lot higher than somebody who never meets? 6 days are for man. That's 6 days for man. He said he'd done all his labor, and on the seventh day he rested from all of his labor. Now, why did he rest? Because he was tired? Can you get that around your mind? Was God tired? The Bible says he slumbers, neither slumbers nor sleeps. Can you imagine that? He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So he wasn't tired. That's not why he rested. He rested for man. Because man will be tired. Man will get exhausted. Man will need the break. And then while they're breaking, I'm just going to come talk with them. That's my design. That's what I put in the Torah. They can follow it if they want, and it'll definitely cause the issues that man will have because of that. So there was the decisions that needed to be made, right? I looked at everything. I've been studying it for a long time. And I've, on purpose, to my own detriment, have held back because I'm waiting for people. You can't even read the Torah on a daily basis. You can't. You can't. Some of you can't even tell me the last time you read the Torah on your own. Or listen to it, whatever it is. Don't give me your education's an issue. It's not an issue. Not in today's society. It's not an issue. You can put it on, listen to it. Like I said, you sit intently. Well, let me just tell you. If you think God's some God and all his, you know, he's just grace. I don't really have to worry about all my issues. As long as in my mind I love God. He don't need you to love him in your mind. That's mental assent. He needs you to love him in your heart. Thou shalt love. The kids were up here and they were quoting the Shema. Shema Israel. They were quoting the Shema. Thou shalt love the Lord. Love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. Loving Yahweh. And he's letting us know that Yahweh is he's a one Yahweh. It's not like he's five or six Yahwehs or two or three. So it's like you don't have to pick. Well, I don't know what to do. It's just one guy. It's just one Yahweh. And then our job is to Shema Yeshua. We have to listen to him. That's what it means to Shema. Listen, Israel. Listen, listen. So we have to Shema Yeshua every day. We have to listen to him. If we don't listen to him, we listen to somebody. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, this is the Sabbath day, and what are they going to read on the Sabbath? They're going to read the Torah, the portions. They broke down into portions. That's where this come from. We're not coming up with something new. They were doing it back then. In Yeshua's day, they were doing Torah portions. So they're going to read the portion for that day. Yeshua's got nothing to do with the Torah, the portions. He just went to the congregation and met with the people. And the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, was handed to him. The scroll of Isaiah is handed to Yeshua. And he, having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, which was the portion for that day. Do you think about God's timing? Yahweh's timing is amazing. The Spirit of Yah is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to send away crushed ones with a release. Now imagine the timing. Imagine that timing. He goes to this congregation on Shabbat, and they hand him the portion for the reading. He's got the scroll of Isaiah. He goes there, and there it is. The Spirit of Yah is upon me. Amazing timing. It's how important it is to be in the spot God wants you when he wants you there. Was it appointed for Yeshua to be there that day? Yes, it was. So you think maybe the Shabbat is important to us? It's the first Moed. The first appointment he created was on the seventh day he rested. The first one. And we still keeping the first day of the week. So there's some changes that we must make. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yah. Isaiah 61 is just showing where it's found. And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. It's final. We waited for this day. Now, there have been many days up to that. So Mount Sinai, the word was given, the Torah was given, and to this day, they read the portion. When it came time for that portion for that year, they read that portion. And they were waiting for that day. And Yeshua says, today, it's been fulfilled in your ears. What a day that must have been. For some, it was a glorious day. For others, they were angry about it. John 7, verse 14. And about the middle of the festival, Yeshua went up into the set apart place. What is that? The set apart place. He went up to the set apart place. If you're going up to the set apart place, you're going to the temple, the synagogue, and he was teaching. So this is, it's in the middle of the festival. And the Yehudim were marveling, saying, the Jews, they're marveling, they're saying, how does this man know letters? How does this man know letters? What does letters refer to? That's referring to the Tanakh. It's referring to the Torah. Not having learned, Yeshua answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but he who sent me. Think about that. He who sent me. Yeshua says this in seven places in the book of John. Seven other places he says this. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Take some time to look at them all. I'm not sure I put a couple of them. But he's letting us know this is important. If anyone desires to do his desire, he shall know concerning the teaching whether it is from Elohim or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself is seeking his own esteem, but he who seeks the esteem of one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Notice that Yeshua, he wasn't seeking his own esteem, but the esteem of the one who sent him. Did not Moshe give you the Torah? Yet not one of you does the Torah. He gets a little tight. You say amen, it goes down a little easier. You see, he said, did not Moshe give you the Torah, but not one of you keeping it? Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered and said, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Yeshua answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Because of this, Moses has given you the circumcision, though it is not from Moshe. He just threw that in and let them know. But from the Father, and you circumcised the man on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the Torah of Moshe should not be broken, are you wrought with me because I made a man entirely well on the Shabbat? Because he performed a miracle on the Sabbath, and they were questioning that he's not keeping the Sabbath. He was keeping the Torah. If he wouldn't have kept the whole thing, he wouldn't have been a good sacrifice. Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And this is part of him clearing up the misunderstanding that so many have when it comes to this. The witness to Yeshua, John 5, verse 30, of myself I am able to do any matter as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own desire, but the desire of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to Yohanan, this is John, he's speaking of John, and he bore witness to the truth. But I do not receive witness from man, but I say this in order that you might be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp. For a while you wished to rejoice in his light. What was John? He was the burning and shining lamp. For a while you wish to rejoice in his light, but I have a greater witness than that of Yohanan. I have a greater witness than John. For the work that the Father gave me to accomplish, the work that I do, I bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. That's why he was able to perform the miracles he performed. Because God, he was letting them know, Yah said, I'm with him. Do you know he wants to be with us? He wants us to see those same things. And the Father who sent me, he bore witness of me. You have neither heard this voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his words staying in you because you do not believe him who he sent. You search the scripture, talking about the Torah. You search the scripture because you think you possess everlasting life in them. Searching scripture don't give you anything. You search scripture because you think you have everlasting life in them. And these are the ones that bear witness of me. You see, you search the scripture, you think you have life in the scripture you search, but you didn't realize they were speaking about me. But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. I do not receive esteem from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of Elohim in you. I have come to my in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another come in his own name, him you would receive. How are you able to believe when you are receiving esteem from one another, and the esteem that is from the only Elohim you do not seek? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There's one that accused you, and he tells him, Moshe, Moses, in whom you have set your expectations. If you believe Moshe, and you would have believed me, since he wrote about me. Think about Yeshua. He said, if you believe Moshe, why don't you believe me? Because what he was writing was about me. If you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Think about that. So what Yeshua is letting them know, he says, you got it all wrong. You can't play the Torah. Because, listen, we go from one thing to another thing, and then you just kind of play that for a while. This is no game. This is getting it right. And if we don't change, it'll make a difference in us. And we got to make the change necessary to show that we are wanting to please Yahweh more than anything. If you did that, that's your goal in life, you'd be a most happy person. Listen, we look around, we want people to make us happy, we want this one to make us happy, we want something to make us happy, we want to feel good when we go to church, we want to leave feeling good, we want to come, you know, maybe a little down, but they give me a little praise song, give me something inspirational. I'm inspiring you now, I can feel it. If you're not inspired by the time I'm done, maybe I need to just do the funeral right now. John 3, listen to what he says. For he whom Elohim has sent speaks the words of Elohim, for Elohim does not give the Spirit by measure. And that was what happened when he came out the immersion. In John 5:17, he said, do not think that I'm come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. To complete, to fill full. For truly, I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Everything's going to come to pass. Not one yod or one tittle. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands. What commands? The Torah. You think maybe we need a little help here? Because this gets real tight, but we're going to have to swallow it and just keep on going. Breaks the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reigns of the heavens. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the reign of the heavens. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. By no means, he said. So let's not kid ourselves. Okay? Let's not kid ourselves. Let's do it the way he wants it done. Can we break the least? Can we just break them at random? He said, don't break one. Isaiah 11. I'm going to stop somewhere right here. I got to get to this menorah. So I'm almost there. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And a rod shall come forth out of Yahya, that's Jesse, and a sprout from his root shall be fruitful. Verse 2, this is the one. The Spirit of Yah shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yah. Why did I read that verse? Because that verse right there is the only way you can be the light that you stood up for. Who stood earlier? Everybody? You can't be that light. Don't kid yourself. You can't kid your pastor. You can't pull it off on the next guy. You can't kid the world. You definitely ain't kidding the devil. He knows. Unless this right here happens, every one of them, you are not the light. That's what we're working on. It shall make him breathe in the fear of Yah. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ear. I want you to take a look at that, and I'm going to stop right here. It's a little hard because it's small, but that's exactly that verse means. That's what it means. That's the light. Remember we talked about the menorah, the lamp? You want to be the light of the world? He says, you're the light of the world. Unless all of that is in your life, you're not the light of the world. Because if one of them goes out, it's not complete. You see that? The sinner, one, we read at the beginning, that's the spirit of Yah. That's where it all starts. And from that, in your life, he's going to give you wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding, might, and fear of Yah. That all of those have to operate in your life. When they all operate, you are the menorah, mentorah. God don't need the Torah. He's God. He's Yahweh. He don't need it. And so he sent Yeshua to be the light to the world, or the Torah in real life. The living Torah. Yeshua became the living Torah. Isn't that amazing? And now here we are. We get a chance to be the light. And he said, you are the light of the world. How are we the light of the world? We have this operating in our life. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Let's just start with number one. Who has been immersed in the spirit of Yah? If you haven't, it's going to be hard to find any wisdom when it comes to the things of God. Any understanding. Hence, when you ask to make a comment, you don't have nothing to say. Because you don't have understanding. That comes from the spirit of Yah. Are you getting this? Yeah. Knowledge? Well, you know, it's good for pastor. You know, he knows stuff. How do I know stuff? Was I born with knowing stuff? Am I the same person just like you are? You got to inundate yourself with the word of God. And the reason you want to do that, because you have the spirit of Yah. So when a person tells me about they got this or that, I question their life and how they live and how they can put a self-blessing on their life. Your self-blessing your life gets you nowhere. You can't self-bless your life. And listen, let me just explain this. This is why Hanukkah is a very hard thing for me to get into. Very hard. Because you're not going to find it in the scripture. Because they got a non-light menorah. And it took a long time for me to find this one. Because we done went away from the truth of the word, and even in that side. So when you can switch over, you can do all that, and you think, oh, I'm somebody. We're not anybody until we do what he says. And so I'm correcting the non-light menorah so you can have your lighted candles for your Hanukkah celebration. I know it's all nice. It's all nice, but you don't need to light 9 candles. You only need 7, because 7 is the perfection. And 9, go look it up. This is what God said. You get this in your life, you're going to be the light of the world. You can put 1,000 lights. Make you 1,000 light menorah. You're not going to be the light to the world. You're going to be the light to yourself. A couple people in your circle will like you. But if you want to do it God's way, that's what I just gave you. I gave you enough that even though there's more to go, I didn't, there was like 60-something slides. It was an easy one, but I had a lot to say between each thing, so it kind of took the time away. So let's all stand again if you want this, because that's what you got to have in order to be the light of the world. So you got understanding, might, and fear of Yah. All of this has to operate in your life. So we got Feast of Dedication is going to be coming up in December. You know what Pastor Josh is going to be preaching, huh? Probably this. Because this year, remember I said I wasn't going to do none of the preaching for the feast days. Showing that we got to stay away from the mixture either side you're on. It don't matter. You don't flip sides and say, well, that, you know, I would do. You got to be careful. The Word of God is very clear. It's very precise. It says what you need to do and don't do another thing. You don't have to add to God, what God said. Just do what He said. If you do what He says, it's going to be amazing what He does. Now, let me just say something to you before we go. I asked the Lord for His hand to be on my life. I felt His hand on my life. There's no possible way that I was able to come and even do this today. It just wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have. And so I'm very thankful for the Lord for the time that we've had today to be able to spend together. And I hope I said everything and I didn't say anything to offend anybody. I wasn't trying to offend you. I was just trying to make you mad. I want you to get mad. Get real mad. Say, I'm mad at Pastor. That's what I want you to do. You get mad at me, maybe you won't expect much of me anymore. I'm a guy just like everybody else in here. And I can only go as far as I let myself go. That's it. I need Him every day. Every day I need the Word of God. Every day I have to have it. I don't pick my stuff up and grab it a week from Sunday. I grab my stuff again and go to church. I look at it every day. Somehow, some way, I got to get some kind of word in me every day because I won't keep the light burning. You got to keep it burning. You're the light of the world. You want to be the light? You can be. But don't sit around expecting somebody else to be the guy that bails you out. And that's what I've done here. The one mistake, and it's a mistake. The one mistake that I've done is I've allowed people to think that I can bail them out every time. Every time. And you devote your life to saving people. And I want you to know this stuff because I love you and care about you. If you'll make a decision, I'm telling you, I promise you this. This is not me that has to make the promise. I promise you because I know Yah. I know how incredible He is. And what Yeshua did to pay for it, and how He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you make a commitment to let the seven lamps burn in your life, it will never go out. It'll never go out. Every now and then you might get a flicker in one of your lights, but you'll figure it out. You'll notice immediately, you'll notice it. You'll be a light to the world. That's important. It's valuable to your life. And so some people here, I got through this. You managed to get through this. I got through it. We all got through it, but it doesn't mean a thing to you. And it saddens me. It really does. And your life, you know what it's going to turn out to be? It's going to be a mess. And some of you, if I told you today what the Lord showed me, I would embarrass you. It would embarrass you. It would be shame for you to hear what I know in my mind right now that's going to happen to you. And I bore that stuff for a long time. But I said today, I ain't going to bear it no more. You understand? It's time that we grow up and we serve God. If that's what you want to do. If not, listen, don't ever attempt to serve Him. Because He's not accepting nothing you do. Nothing. Nothing. Not one thing that you do is He going to accept. Because He don't accept somebody who just does something halfway. I know you think it's an acceptable thing in the world. The world accepts a halfway job, but God doesn't. He doesn't. When you do something, you go all out for it. You put your heart into it. That's what he's looking for. And if you've done everything you can to stand, you know what he's going to ask you to do? Stand. When you bail, I'm telling you, you got no more energy. And I say, man, that's kind of hard for God to do that. Stand, because when he says stand, he's empowering you with the authority to stand up. Have your loins girded about with truth. Didn't I tell you I would take care of you? Put your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Get your loins girded. All of these things are valuable to us. That's what he's telling us. When you've reached your end, it's important for our life. It's valuable for us. And if you don't think your life matters, then that's fine. If it don't matter, I'm going to just tell you, if it don't matter to you, it don't matter to me. If you want to act the way you want to act, then keep doing it. You go on. Let me just tell you, today will be the last time that I reach out to you. I preached under distress that you have no idea just now. And so I'm not going to reach out to you. You get to reach to Yah. You reach to him because he's reaching out for you. He sent his only son to die for you. If we're going to serve God, let's get it right. Let's do it right. So let me tell you about this adjustment. This is the last Sunday service.